This is CLWA3 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
The NAWC, for over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment.
The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestlers.
The North American Wrestling Connection proudly presents WrestleMania. It's a family affair when Nikki Heyman and her Uncle Paul take on Stephanie McMahon and her father Vince, all for ownership in World Wrestling Entertainment. Plus, statistician extraordinaire, stat boy Josh Hettinger battles the team of Stats Inc. in a no-holds-barred stat match. Plus, game show contestant extraordinaire Jason Block takes on IBM's undefeated Watson inside a steel cage with special guest referee Alex Trebek. It's a triple main event. It's WrestleMania.
And it's a surprise addition to the card I'll be leaving in the morning. Happy April Fool's Day, ladies and gentlemen. The North American Wrestling Connection is on the air for 2 solid hours of wrestling discussion. We're not going to make it a dirty word. This is the North American Wrestling Connection of CLW83. My name is Nikki Heyman. Tonight we're going to have a rotating panel of the usual idiots, including a few new faces. But let's start with some of the usual suspects. At this side of New York, I have Mr. VRM.
How nice is it that not only do you get the start of WrestleMania, the official start of WrestleMania season, but the Yankees win. And I got a nasty echo.
Not me. Then on the other side in the Garden State of New Jersey, I'm finally getting this right, our awesome audio man, Mr. Jim Williams.
Who cares about the Yankees? The Phillies coming from behind from 4-0 down winning. But let's be serious. Who knew that dashing Cody Rhodes, when he quote-unquote had his face injured, also apparently had his vocal talents injured, because he apparently speaks a lot differently.
And finally, we have that new and shiny face to this company straight up from Tennessee, Mr. Brian Henniger, which we don't think is related to Josh Henniger. Please, say something witty, sir.
Something witty, sir.
Thank you.
He's a keeper.
Just following orders, guys.
You're off to a wonderful start. So, this week has been one where the internet has had a field day with quite a few things, including a huge explosion that we did not get to talk about last week, or maybe it just happened over the weekend after we had gone off the air. Twitter has apparently sunk a couple of ships. And I'll start with the big one that almost destroyed the WrestleCrap board. That would be Michael Cole, who already has, you know, just nobody really wants him to stick around and would be just as happy to do this.
Didn't we already do that to him?
He's actually already in there with Heidenreich, but I'd like it to be permanent, especially after WrestleMania. And this latest thing is going to make sure that he and Heidenreich are going to have a nice, comfy dinner tomorrow night. Michael Cole.
Sick.
What's that?
I feel sick.
Well,
you are the only one.
Yeah, regardless of your PC feelings, Michael Cole really put his phone in his mouth when he decided to call Josh Matthews a faggot.
Oh, no.
And I'll tell you what, a lot of people were not terribly happy about that. And mainly because a few people get offended by the use of that word.
Wrong, 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 wrong.
You have the quad wrong back.
So, to the point that I understand that even Glad got involved. Jim, what have you heard about this?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, kudos to Matthews for not firing back and taking the ammo. Second of all, there are Glad fired back, especially since Glad was performing various training sessions already in-house with WWE after a previous incident. And I just heard some sort of echo myself there. Hold on a sec. What it comes down to is this. As far as I see it, it's a case in point, not so much as wrestling related, but it's kind of life lesson related. You have the power in this country, God bless it, for freedom of speech. Just because you have the freedom of speech doesn't mean you need to type thoughts. Yes, the word does not mean, he wasn't intending it to mean what it meant. Just like when people say, oh, that's gay, it's usually not meant to be, oh, that's homosexual. It's more like, oh, that's weird. That said, can't condone it. You're stupid for saying it. Cole, if you aren't at least heavily smacked in the face, suspended, what have you, I would be just as well to see if, you know, get your walking papers. Heck, Gilbert Gottfried got fired for something similar on Twitter weeks ago. With the whole Japan earthquake thing, he lost his job with Aflac. Why shouldn't Cole lose his job at WWE? Just saying.
It could actually happen after WrestleMania, because they weren't going to throw away his match, tempted as some people would like to see it get thrown away. We are going to discuss that match a little bit further when we go into the second hour. Let me put you on the spot, VRM. If you had an employee pull something like this, would you fire him immediately? Or if he had an important enough role, would you just reprimand him and maybe get him to a sensitivity class?
Considering that this is the guy that I'm going to have out front and center every fucking day. It's not like he's got this shift for like 5 hours for 3 hours a week each day. Oh, actually, he does have to for 3 hours a week each day. But if he's the guy that everybody is going to see, everybody's going to hear, and he says something like that, where everybody can see him say it, and where everybody can hear him say it, button, lever, gone.
So now that you've seen some of the format, Brian, I'm going to pose a question to you.
That's a big risk you're taking, Nick.
I realize. As you are a common lurker and sometime poster on the WrestleCraft board, you saw how much damage and how big of a conversation this generated. Outside of Glad, do you think any of the Twitter fan base were offended enough to maybe take a step back to what's going on here?
Well, I look at the whole business like this. What Michael Cole said was stupid. All right, he shouldn't have said it. And, you know, we live in a society, you know, even if you're not as politically correct as some people are, that's a dumb thing to say, and he should not have said it, and it was stupid. Now, I want to make a few things clear. Number one, this may make some people mad. I don't think that Michael should be fired for this. He should be reprimanded. I mean, he should get a stern talking to by the powers that be, and he should go to sensitivity training. However, I don't think what he said was as big a deal as Gilbert Gottfried about the Japan earthquake. Gilbert Gottfried kept making jokes for a very long time. He made joke after joke after joke after joke after joke, and it was just mean-spirited. It was constant. It didn't stop. Cole made one comment that was very stupid. He apologized for it twice. I mean, I can understand people getting angry. I got angry when he said it, but he made a mistake. He apologized. He should be punished. I wouldn't fire him for it, but I can understand the anger.
Well, at the end of the day, I came across, after he had deleted it, he made a comment, you know, look, I apologized already. Can I get back to being in character? To which I tweeted, Michael Cole, you're welcome to go back into character if you had one worth going to.
Ooh.
Oh, burn.
That's good. That's good.
I know. I have a button for that. Give me a second. Where is it? I know I have one. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it?
Buttons on it?
This shiny button right here.
Burn!
Woo, 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 you know it. You have a couple new buttons tonight also, so, yeah.
So, with that out of the way, I think, you know, I think at the end of the day, Cole's going to have, is still going to have a job. I've noticed that, yes, a lot of people get outraged, but usually, unless it's something that's repeated, like you mentioned with Gilbert Godfrey, I think Cole's going to be all right. I have a coworker who is not as PC as she should be in a professional environment, and has been reprimanded multiple times for her opinion of Hispanics. And I won't go into further detail here because, frankly, today all she offended me with was her computer illiteracy. So, that out of the way. The other Twitter faux pas that came up was Dixie Carter. And this one, I'm sorry, is just ridiculous. It's beyond, why would you do this? What in the world were you thinking when you did this?
That's dumb.
Sorry that I'm button happy tonight. Dixie Carter's
I said it's okay, Nikki. We love you just the same.
Awesome. On Dixie's official Twitter page, she actually had added into the background using MS Paint or whatever that her account was verified, that she wasn't even willing to go through Twitter to have them verify it for her. When they saw this, or somebody spoke up about it, her Twitter account got suspended. Dixie, what in the world were you thinking?
Bail!
Thank you, Carl.
That move made the landscape of TNA change all over again.
Again?
But it already changed five times last week.
True.
It blows my mind. It really does. I'm not a Twitter expert, so I'm going to throw this out here. Does anybody know if there's a fee or if there's something in particular you need to get a verified Twitter account?
Not sure.
I'm
new to
Twitter
myself.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't do as much on Twitter as I used to. If anybody wants to bug me, it's at Ms. Nikki Heyman. But if there's a fee involved, I mean, it can't be that expensive. And
I would think so.
So, it's so boneheaded.
It would be stupid.
I said that. I don't think I have enough stupid ways for her.
Because that would be stupid.
Yes. So I'll just use that one.
I mean, was Dixie a blonde in a previous life, or even in a previous decade?
I want to know if she actually went to school for business, because this is just, like I said, this is just beyond my comprehension.
Yeah,
but it boggles the mind. It boggles the mind, Jim.
She runs TNA and she can't handle Twitter. Film at 11.
So if she can't handle Twitter, VRM, what are the prospects for the rest of the company?
Oh boy.
This is just, I mean, look, Dixie Carter has always come off to me as the most wealthy ring rat who has ever lived. You know, all she wants to do is be around the business. I mean, we hear all the time about how she, you know, how she befriended Jeff Jarrett and all this other stuff. And, I mean, she's obviously just spending her daddy's money. So she can say, hey, look at me. I'm in the wrestling business. And she does things like this, and you realize, well, you know what makes perfect sense? Because she hired Vince Russo. But,
But you don't get that story from wrestlers. You really don't get that story. There was an article earlier this week talking about, I believe, Kurt Angle, and if he would ever jump back to WWE and give him the chance, or I take that back, Rob Van Dam. That's who it was about, Rob Van Dam, if he would ever go back to WWE. And he said no, saying that Dixie treats him well, allows him to do outside gigs and movie film stuff on the side that WWE would not have done, and obviously, of course, putting the strap on his waist for a time, too.
But some of that also translates into the fact that TNA does not have a marijuana policy. Where
WWE, that's true, too.
WWE finally put that under their wellness thing, so now you can actually you actually get a wellness thing for that instead of just paying a fine. Because
hey, guys, I'll be right back. Give me about 5 minutes.
Where are you off to, Bry?
I got to take some dishes into the kitchen. I'll be right back.
Okay, so we'll talk at you when you get back in. Just let us know when you're back.
Okay, I'll be back.
Jim, where'd you hide the fail button on here?
I don't know. I do not control where I put the buttons on there.
Carl, where's the fail button?
Let me see if I can do a fail.
Fail!
Even better. I you know, that's not the one I want. You know the one I'm looking for.
Right. The Price is Right fail?
Yes.
Oh. Gotcha.
And I don't see it. You don't see it. I mean, I do.
Technology
hated
a biatch.
That's right. We'll just consider the Twitter issue closed for now, and I'll just put it in its proper place.
Smells a bit messy. Yes.
Okay. Properly flushed.
Yes. Very nice.
So now that we've gotten some of the stupid out of the way, now we've got all the goofiness that goes with WrestleMania week. And I'm going to, you know, I surprisingly, maybe I just don't watch enough TV or read enough newspapers, but I haven't seen as much hype for some of the little side events that they do during WrestleMania week now, the golf tournament, the art show, access, you know, from some of the stuff I saw on SmackDown tonight was dead. Then again, it was live and it was like 8:30 at night, so maybe maybe the display was being closed down for the night, and they were just getting the last handful of people out the door when they were shooting those segments.
Mm.
Is it just me, Jim?
Yeah, to some extent. I wonder what Access charges. I went to a fan fest like 15 years ago when the baseball All-Star game came to Philly, and they charged a few bucks. I don't know if Access is free for everyone or regardless. It's kind of interesting. I mean, the press is out there for the event. Not so much, I would agree, for the other things. I mean, the Art Expo and the golf tournament and whatnot. Granted, I'd like to know, I mean, though, if you're in the chat, anybody who's closer to the Atlanta metro area, how they're covering it, just to see if they're giving it some much-needed hype down there in hot Atlanta. That'd be interesting to know.
Well, I will do a comparison. When WrestleMania 24 came through, my folks kept track of the Orlando Sentinel, since they live down that way. They sent me a stack of about, you know, 7 or 8 separate articles, ranging from non-fan articles to on and off discussion about steroids to a fan access picture of a couple of guys dressed up as Eminem meeting, you know, meeting Johnny Nitro and Molina.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's probably some really, really cool stuff going on in the Atlanta Constitution that I wouldn't mind reading. I'm guessing, you know, the hype is going bonkers down there because Atlanta, well, okay, VRM, you know, maybe you know this, I certainly don't. They don't do a lot in Atlanta. They're, you know, Atlanta's just another city when it comes to the Fed. This was the hub for WCW forever.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Just Atlanta in general. Do you think they should absolutely be celebrating because this is probably the biggest wrestling related event they've had there in some year.
Oh yeah, did they ever? I don't know. Well, I'm sure they did, but did they ever have Starrcade in Atlanta?
My history sucks. I know that they had a
Wiki.
Somebody please wiki.
They had the 85 of the 85 and 86 Starrcades, the 89 Starrcade, and the 92 Starrcade.
I always equate Starrcade with like North Carolina or Charlotte or Raleigh or something for some reason.
Yeah, well, mainly Nashville and D.C.
Okay, so what was the big Georgia Dome show that Goldberg won the title or something, you know, that major?
Wasn't that a Nitro?
Was it an actual Nitro? They actually gave that away?
Hmm.
I remember that was that one Nitro. Of course, it's not going to be Bash at the Beach.
No. Brian, are you back?
Yeah, I'm sorry about the delay there. Had to take care of a little bit of business, but we're okay now.
Okay. No, you're fine. Just to throw some, we just hit some WCW trivia here because we're talking about all the hype that is probably going on in Atlanta that none of us are going to be able to get our hands on because none of us live there. I recall, you know, maybe I'm misrecalling this. Let's see. Last time was in 92, according to the chat room, so you guys are all in line for that.
Slamboree, no. Bash?
No, what
like,
is
I'm
Bash?
I'm going through each and every thing to find out when the last major pay-per-view was in Atlanta for WCW. And so far, I have found Jack and shit, and Jack's left town.
Oh, geez.
So inevitably, this is the biggest pay-per-view event, maybe in history for Atlanta, but certainly in the last 15 to 20 years. We'll just generalize it.
And this the last wrestling event at the Georgia Dome since the last time Nitro was there.
Okay, and that's the Nitro that I'm probably thinking of.
Yeah, was that
they sold out the Georgia Dome match, and I'm like, holy crap, you know, why are they, you know, why
yeah,
would they just...
Yeah, it was. The Georgia Dome was the July 6, 98 Nitro, where Goldberg won the title, and the Finger Poke of Doom.
Yeah, the Finger Poke of Doom was at the Georgia Dome, yeah, I remember that now. That was the exact moment when WCW jumped the shark.
Yeah,
that to me was the pinpoint moment because what they were essentially telling their audience was, listen, we're not going to build any new stars here. It's going to be the same guy each and every week for eternity. We know you don't like it, but we like it. And if you don't like it, we'll tell you Mick Foley's going to win the championship so 500,000 people can leave the TV broadcast.
And it's just, you know, that's so facepalm worthy, and unfortunately we're starting to see minor reruns of that a little bit south of you, Brian, although admittedly you can't be that far from TNA's other headquarters.
In Nashville, well, where I am, Nashville is, I'm in East Tennessee. Nashville is on the western tip of Tennessee.
Okay.
So it's actually, from what I've been able to gather, it's a longer drive to Nashville than it's going to be for Atlanta, where, in case any of you want to be envious, I'm going to be going tomorrow.
And while you're down there, I need you to do me a great big favor.
I will do what I can, Miss Hayden.
Pack an extra couple of bucks, pick up the local paper.
The local paper?
The Atlanta Constitution, I believe, will be the one you're looking for.
The Journal Constitution, yes.
Yes.
Right.
Pick up the Saturday and Sunday editions, because there's going to be a lot of neat hype going on in those newspapers, because obviously a lot of newspaper outlets are not going to waste their time or paper on this. After all, they've got all the newsy entertainment outlets having way too much fun with it, a.k.a. TMZ, E Entertainment,
Access Hollywood Entertainment Tonight,
all of these guys. And who do we have to thank for that? That's true. TMZ did pick up Michael Cole's faux pas.
Yeah, they really
And then everybody else was having a lot of fun because of some chick that I'm actually taller than. And for the newbie, dude, I'm only 5'3", which puts me barely taller than Mysterio, so let me brag.
Well, my sister's 5'1", so you're taller than her.
Exactly. And I don't care if she's getting Jomo a match at WrestleMania, she should not be on the show.
By the way, did you happen to see the clip of her at the news conference?
I did not.
I swear to you, Nikki, she was getting X-Pac heat. She was getting X-Pac heat. I mean, Scrappy Doo got nothing on this dog, baby. Let me tell you that right now.
Ooh.
Oh. You know, let me ask you something. I heard a story that who was it? J-Wow? I don't watch the Jersey Shore. J-Wow in TNA is getting like $15,000 per appearance to appear for them.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how much Snooki's going to be clearing for this.
I think it's $50,000 for the initial appearance, if I'm not mistaken.
And this is going to be so much fun. Sarcasm, sarcasm, sarcasm.
Here's the line I think we should try. New sound effect. And that wasn't spectacular, but that's okay. It's okay. I'm gonna touch on Snooki on some of Snooki stuff here, just because there is a bet going on within the annals of the North American Wrestling Connection. This started with a wonderful discussion. Now, for our listeners, I need to pass along that Jason Block and I have been butting heads over the last couple of weeks, as he has formally boycotted WWE since the arrival of Snooki, and has been trying to encourage me to do a similar boycott just because of Stone Cold Steve Austin. as my love, and I say that with a lot of quotes on either side of it, of Mr. Austin knows no bounds. And you thought I hated Austin. Jason hates Snooki even more. He believes that Snooki is going to actually affect the global buy rate of WrestleMania negatively, to the point that they will not get 750,000 buys.
Really?
Oh.
I call bullshit on him, and we're putting money on it.
Hmm.
Essentially,
well,
it's very simple. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
One of the perks that WWE.com is offering is that if you can prove that you ordered the first three pay-per-views of this year, you receive a $50 gift card from WWE Shop, which means I technically am getting one of my pay-per-views for free. However, I am putting this on the line. I will send him this gift card if the global buy rate of WrestleMania 27 does not exceed 750,000 buys. If I am right, which I will be, Jason's going to owe me some money.
Nikki?
Yes?
Here's the thing, though. If he's boycotting WWE, why would he want a gift card from them?
I see your point. He's going to come back once Snooki disappears after WrestleMania is over with. In fact, the reason Jason's not here tonight is he's in Las Vegas. And love him to death, but this is probably the wrong time for him to be here.
Yeah, I mean, Jason's a smart guy. Nobody denies that. But this is very Mark-like of him, almost, some might say. After the show, you better give me his digits because I want in on some of this. I'm hurting. To think that she's going to have that much of a negative impact when you have a card with at least a couple of intriguing matchups on there that people want to see. I don't want to say this denigrates it, like Mr. T in a matchup or Lawrence Taylor in a matchup, but you can draw parallels in some respects. Granted, it's not fair to draw those parallels in some respects either. It's not going to... If it goes below 800,000, I will be shocked. I'm not saying it's going to do a million. It's not going to do a million. I have the number pegged between 850 and 875.
All right.
I'm going to have to definitely go higher because of two people on this card.
The Rock and...
The Rock and Stone Cold. I know you're going to hate me for saying that, Nikki, but seriously, the nostalgia factor will kick in here. You have The Rock and Stone Cold on WrestleMania.
And
more than likely, Stone Cold's going to involve himself in the King Cole match more than just beating the shit out of... Jack Swagger and counting the 1, 2, 3.
Oh, I could have told you that. Once the match is over, he's going to stunner Cole, he's going to stunner Swagger, he's going to stunner King, he's going to stunner Booker T if he leaves the announce table, he's going to stunner Marty the cameraman if he happens to be in the ring at the moment. He's going to stunner, you know, if Lillian Garcia was still there, she'd get a stunner. He might go over to the ringside and stunner one of the Cena haters. He's going to sit there, he's going to spend 20 minutes just celebrating the fact that he actually was out there.
Yeah, so that is why. And the fact that he's there, Rock is there, Cena's in a main event, this pay-per-view is going to gross a million. I'm not going to go much higher than a million. It's going to hit a million.
So, you know, if you guys... You have my full permission to pester Jason to get in on this bet. But to be honest, you're probably not going to be able to get in touch with him until next week. He is in Las Vegas right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, what do we got?
To win a boatload just in case to cover his ass, yes.
Hey, Nikki, can I ask you something real quick?
Sure, Brian, what's up?
Why do you hate Austin so much? Because I've not heard about this. I'm the newbie here, so I need to know what's going on.
All right. She hates Austin because he comes back, gets a new shirt, and hasn't done anything.
That's the basic of it, Brian. What it is that Stone Cold Steve Austin, since 2004, has a standard and very tired act of showing up. Every time he shows up, he has a brand new T-shirt, never a retread. Never a retread. The man's got 10,000 shirts. Pick one and reissue it. It's got to be cheaper than redesigning a shirt. He goes to the ring. He puts nobody over except himself. And then spends the rest of the time drinking beer and flipping the middle finger. I can think of a lot of better ways to spend the show. This also stems from his prior performances where he has walked out on the WWE. He's done it twice.
Yes.
And even in bigger bullshit situations with Hogan, with Lesnar, with Goldberg, people that were in shitty situations, nobody else in the entire company has walked out, ever, that I am fully aware of. I respect what the man did for the company in the 90s. I respect the fact that he is one of the biggest linchpins of attitude. Right now, he does not deserve to be anywhere on a television screen after both his walkouts, his last couple appearances, including WrestleMania 23, where he and Trump and Vince turned Bobby Lashley and MAGA into trivia questions. And he's going to do it again to Colin Lawler.
You know what? You do have a point there, Nikki. And I didn't mean to make you mad. It's just I didn't know what was going on.
No. It's just I just want you to be aware that Stone Cold Steve Austin is one of the very few people that if I had the opportunity to meet, it better be for free. Otherwise, I probably would skip it.
And, you know, I do kind of feel the same way. Although, I think that WWE is probably going to have to push him heavy because, you know, like it or not, it's sort of the same thing with John Cena. You know, haters are going to hate him. But the man moves a lot of merchandise.
Right, and I'll just, yeah.
I mean, when Austin came out for the contract signing, which if only for the look of Cole getting four beers poured on his head and looking like he just wet his diaper, it was worth it just for that one facial look from Cole. Oh, that was classic. When he came out, I mean, that pop was a pop. It sounded good. And
well, first of all, and you were in Texas, so it wasn't that hard.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Nikki, so go ahead and get back on.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Actually, I'll use that to kind of pull back into the Cole and Waller situation. My bias aside, and you know, if you guys like Austin, and it's not going to piss me off, and you're not going to get thrown off the show. I promise. But wouldn't it have been funnier if JBL had been the guest referee? Seriously.
Yeah, I guess it would have been funnier, but here's the deal. If he was the guest referee, then the ending to the story that many of us are wanting, which is Cole getting monkey stomped up and down Peachtree Street in Atlanta, Georgia, probably wouldn't happen.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. I mean, remember back when they were announcing together, JBL always gave Cole the business, too, so he could have put up the front right then and there, only to give him the business when the match actually came and pull a swerve. So I'm not 100% sure. I would agree with you, Nikki. I would think it would be a more entertaining match as opposed to a 3 or 4 minute throwaway if JBL was the referee. It would bring some sort of dynamic to it. Stone Cold just stacks the deck completely against Cole, which defies logic, really.
Yeah.
So
you're right about that, because what ends up happening is, you know, even the best, even the match that you know the ending of the story, you always leave some doubt there. And I'm with you. I think they haven't left that much doubt. I mean, we all know what's going to happen. But still, I think the way that it could happen, it will still be entertaining. I mean, I've already got my sign made up for WrestleMania, and it says, if Cole wins, we riot.
Please tell me it's as large as the Cena wins, we riot one.
Yes, it is.
Excellent. We will be watching for it.
We expect a plug for the North American Wrestling Connection on the bottom of the sign. Yes.
Yes, there will be.
Yeah, very nice.
Okay.
God bless.
Let's see. What other kind of goofiness? Oh, aside from, let's see. No, I didn't talk about that yet. Aside from the typical hype that's been pulled in because of Snooki's exposure in the entertainment circles, Miz has been out hyping WrestleMania, even though he, sadly, is still the third wheel in this WWE title match. Jim, can you explain this to me? What in the world was the Miz doing on the Weather Channel last night?
Oh, just because I'm the Weather Channel geek. No, I don't even know. I did not watch it, but you know, listen. What it comes down to is somebody deep down, maybe Vince himself, doesn't think the Miz can run with the ball and has enough stock and name value, which defies logic. This man, to use a term referred to when talking about Howard Cosell back in the day, he's like shit, he's everywhere. I mean, he's doing Conan, doing Weather Channel stuff. You see him on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. You know, he's everywhere, and he's extending the brand to a pop culture thing. He's doing all the right things. In essence, he's being groomed to be a successor to John Cena, if you ask me. But they don't think he can run with the ball yet. Hence, they have to bring The Rock in, and hence it's more a Rock v. John Cena storyline than it is an actual title match of Miz v. Cena. Which is a shame, because the Miz has earned this moment. This is his moment. Win, lose, or draw, he's earned it.
And I agree with you, as not being a huge Miz fan, as somebody who would... from Parma, which is a suburb of Cleveland, for anybody who needs to know that.
Food over Parma, bring my love to me tonight. Yes, please do not...
I just remember there was a sign in the crowd. I think this was actually during the Tough Enough that Miz was involved with, where some chick held up a sign saying, "Hey Miz, can I have a ticket to Parma?" but you know, I wonder if this is supposed to be Miz's test. And this is a hell of a play. I mean, the fact that Vince is putting everything on it, essentially, okay, not only am I putting the big name that I have of this current generation in wrestling, I'm taking one of the other big names from the last generation, somebody else who helped put Attitude on the map. Let's see if you can elbow your way into this. And that, I'm not counting the people's elbow he dropped when he was disguised as Rock the other week. Because all I did is that scene with, and Biker Taker. Well, Kurt Angle's on the side going, "Hello, I'm in this match too. Hello, hello," and they both turn around and cold talk him. And I'm expecting that spot during
scene. I want to think it happened, but you know, the more you talk about it, the more sense it makes.
It just, you know, I feel sorry for Miz. You know, maybe there's another underlying play here. Are they trying to turn, you can't tell me they're trying to turn Miz's face. Right now he's just doing too damn well the heel.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Eventually, I'm sure he's going to get a face turn because his shtick on the mic is just too freaking gold not to eventually, but not now, yeah.
So, let's see. My news list is, of course, very disjointed. Let me see what I've got going on over here. Oh, yes. The night before WrestleMania, as you all know, is the Hall of Fame ceremonies, and it is a very small class. But, I mean, they have some very, very good choices this year. Of course, you know, we all knew that Shawn Michaels was going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, which completely threw everybody's speculation that this was going to be a WCW-oriented Hall of Fame class. I have not seen a whole lot of speculation out there about who all's inducting who, but Sonny keeps saying, oh, it's going to be a surprise. And, of course, the WrestleCraft jokes have been spectacular on this one. So, okay, if you were going to have Sonny inducted, who would you put out there for? All right, I'll start with you.
Me?
Yes, Brian.
Oh, so who I would have to induct Sonny?
Yeah.
The only one I could think of would be Tom Pritchard, because Chris Candido is no longer with us, and Tom Pritchard was briefly Candido's partner as Zip in the Body Donnas. I mean, he's the only logical choice I would think to induct him. I mean, to induct her.
Okay.
Because he's the only connection WWE-wise that there still is.
Just for the silliness of it all, Jim, do you think it could twist Bret Hart's arm?
Well, it can't twist Shawn because that would be funny. That would be hysterical. I would pay money to see that. Luckily, I won't have to. But I really can't think of anybody. The one name that's coming to my mind is a complete random oddball. If you want a WCW link, who was kind of the WCW equivalent to Sonny? The one name that comes to mind is Missy Hyatt. But I doubt that bridge is ever going to happen. So I'd love to see Bret. That'd be hilarious as all get out. That'd be an awkward situation. Ladies and gentlemen, Sonny! And then they come see each other. Do they hug? Do they handshake? Do they kiss? What do they do?
By the way, speaking of Missy Hyatt, I got to see a picture of her recently for a shoot she did for RF Video.
Good Lord.
She has had so much collagen in her lips. She looks like Janice from The Muppet Show.
True. Oh my God, that's a good way of putting it. Sadly. Yeah.
By the way, Nikki, I'm going to cut out at 11 because my microphone is dying.
Oh no, that's fine. That just means I could probably twist somebody's arm. Let's see, Stat Boy on standby. Please. On by Eastern. Okay, your replacement is already set. You don't have to leave now, VR. No. Let's see, because like I said, extremely light class. We've got Shawn Michaels, we've got Sonny, we've got the Road Warriors, we've got Bullet Bob Armstrong, we've got Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh,
and I'm missing somebody.
Abdullah the Butcher.
Thank you.
Yes.
And all I ask is that Abdullah the Butcher please wear a shirt.
Yes.
You may have you're more than welcome to have a fork in your handkerchief pocket. I'm okay with that. But you gotta wear a shirt, son.
That's good.
Let's see. I might even take a moment. How many people do we have at the table here who follow?
Well, you got me.
Let's see. Okay, now I've got some people. I'm wondering who all at the table here follows the independent circuits in any capacity.
And goes down.
I might have the wrong people on here for this, but I'm going to go ahead and throw this out here anyway because you guys might have heard a little bit about this. IWA MITS is an organization that had been very prominent in the 90s and the early 2000s and got a lot of independent people their start. The organization has since gone exceptionally downhill with the inclusion of a head honcho, a Mr. Ian Rotten.
And never was a last name more appropriate.
Oh, boy. Anyway, IWA has closed its doors. We don't believe permanently. But very amusing fallout for this. There's another show on Blog Talk Radio, and I might need to pull up the name of this group. Give me one second. I'm going to pull up the name of this show because the guy deserves a plug. Because I only listened to about 15 minutes of this, but wow. This was essentially one of the strongest verbal smashdowns I've heard on a radio show. Where did it go? Oh, I know a faster way I can look this up. What's also been amusing is that there are people on WrestleCraft that are thinking now that it's closed that they might actually try to get their hands on some of the stuff from that company. Okay, here we go.
I didn't mean to talk over you, but I was reading an article about it and on the website, and then they posted the actual notice about all the things that are up for sale, and they say, you know, that they're selling things at the tape library. What gets me is that they're even selling the stuff in the concession stand, including, quote, a pizza oven and a popcorn popper.
And in true WrestleCraft form, people are calling dibs.
Yes. There's one guy on there, I mean, he literally claims that he can get like $5,000 together in a few weeks, which is both incredibly cool and incredibly creepy at the same time.
Yes. So, I'm sorry, Brian, I keep talking over you.
No, I'm talking over you, honey. I apologize for that.
If anybody is interested, blogtalkradio.com/Jerry Wiseman. His show is called And Then the... He essentially did a two-hour verbal roast of Ian Rotten with Ian Rotten present. I only listened to 20 minutes of the show. Mr. Wiseman got Mickey Knuckles on the phone.
Yes.
And sitting with her while she had the phone were some of Ian Rotten's two biggest, quote-unquote, fans, Madman Pondo and Bull Payne.
I heard I listened to this show. It was amazing. You need to put this CD, man, because it was classic.
You must give this a listen, and Jerry Wiseman, you're welcome for this free plug. Just listening to Mickey Knuckles tearing Ian a new one, followed by listening to Pondo and Bull in the background going, oh, don't listen to what he's saying. He's full of shit. I didn't go further into the show. Brian, it sounds like you've listened to the whole show.
I skimmed my way through it. I couldn't listen to, like, the whole thing because I had class and I've not been able to listen to it again. I may, you know, skim through it again before I go to bed tonight, but, oh, man. They had J.C. Bailey's father on.
Yes.
That was just began to get crazy. Now, for our listeners who don't know, J.C. Bailey was a wrestler who did, he would work for CZW and IWA Mid-South. It's my understanding that he had a painkiller addiction. And at one show, Ian Rotten, rather than paying him with cash, paid him off in pills. And he was, at the time, trying to clean himself up.
Actually, it was even crazier than that. It was, how did it go? It essentially, it translated to, instead of paying him, well, he paid him some money and then made JC turn around and buy the drugs off of him.
Oh, man.
And to which Wiseman just said, so you're a drug dealer. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm like, oh, my Lord. I didn't make it through the show.
My favorite part of the whole deal was they put on half-breed Billy Graham.
I heard about some of this, but go on.
He's at the end of it. He was hot. I mean, he was yelling things like, you never come near me, man. I will, like, weep and kill you, man. And he said things like, I'll take you to a tribal court in Nevada. They won't convict me.
Wow. That's right. Somebody mentioned that at the end, somebody came on and just unleashed the cluster F-bomb and just would not let, to the point, did Wiseman have to cut him off?
I think it was time constrained.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I didn't listen to the whole thing all the way through from start to finish. I listened to, like, bits and pieces, and I skimmed my way through it. But, I mean, the whole bit with J.C. Bailey's father, it was just, that's when it stopped being, like, the train wreck, and it just started going, like, why is this man not in prison? And, you know, and you wonder why. And, you know, people want, like, the independent wrestling promoters often get bad names. It's because of crap like this.
So if I ever actually wanted to write a wrestling fan fiction, all I would need is about an hour of Ian Rotten's shenanigans, and at least I would know how to write a promoter.
If you guys want a really good list of the crap he's pulled, there's a website called czwfans.com, and they have a wiki. The wiki has essentially been taken over by a bunch of these CZW haters, which makes for great comedy because they are so hilarious in what they've written. There's an entire page called, and I quote, List of Scummy Things Ian Rotten Has Done. And they get crazier and crazier as the list goes on.
I still haven't figured out exactly how I got there, but I did get there and I read some of it and put my head in my hands. I've been fortunate that I've not worked directly for Ian, but I did quote and I did comment in the Wrestle Crowd boards about it that if they were going to purchase the ring, I hope they sell it for scrap, because I attended a show in Peoria where two wrestlers were nearly injured because of the shoddy construction of the ring, and one of those wrestlers was Davey freaking Richards. That is a crime.
It is. That is a crime.
The other injury that actually happened was one of the guys that I managed, Fabulous Candy Charles, who is now wrestling as American Kickboxer 2, did a cannonball move in the corner, and one of the lowermost turnbuckles had slipped. So he hit the turnbuckle right between the shoulder blades.
Oh.
And had a 3-inch long, inch wide bruise from hitting it. That should not happen.
Oof. I have a story like that to tell you. I have a friend of mine at my old job who used to wrestle independently, and he told the story that he worked a show, I want to say it was in Arkansas, and the ring was a dilapidated
piece of crap ring. And apparently he was working the curtain jerker, which is the opening match. And he ran in, did a move, he did a whip off the ropes. When he whipped, he heard a very loud metallic ping, and he began falling backwards. The turnbuckle post, not the rope, not even the turnbuckle, but the actual post broke. And he fell.
Whoa, like what?
Yes. And like any true independent guy, he just comes, he gets two guys to come out with a welding torch, and they just welded the post back together and told everyone not to do any moves off the ropes for the whole match.
The Davey Richards one wasn't quite that severe, but I've noticed that about every other match at this show, they had to go out and keep tightening the ropes. And thank God, the ring was actually butted up against the stage in this little auditorium where they were having the show. Davey hit those ropes and almost fell through them.
Oh my gosh.
It startled him so much, he just stopped, looked at the ropes, looked around the ring, and said, "Who built this crap?" I mean, he was not a happy camper.
Oh.
I have received an email from the anonymous general manager.
Our anonymous general manager is only speaking up because we are at the midpoint of our show, and it's time for us to, we got to pay some bills and pay some advertising. So, gentlemen, sit back and relax. As you know, we are listening to CLW 83.
What is The Night Shift?
The Night Shift is a sophisticated talk show.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is M.I. Wearing Pants.
It's filled with intelligent...
my little chickadee, earning 640 for today, my little chickadee.
...highbrow conversations.
The gritty details about Carl Chenier's sex life.
And it can help enrich your life.
Construction with toothpicks.
We also have original comedy pieces.
And that was the obligatory Charlie Sheen cocaine joke of 2011 that is brought to you by no one in particular.
Very original. The CLW 83 Night Shift premieres Saturday, April 9th at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, only on the CLW 83 Network.
I actually haven't eaten yet. It's sitting right in front of me.
Oh, boy. Chris Palmer eats during the show is brought to you by...
Miami Sub. Yep.
No, it's brought to you by whoever the hell makes Hamburger Helper.
the guy with the hand. I don't know.
One pound, one pan, one tasty meal.
Mew.
By the way, when did the Hamburger Helper hand go through puberty? Can anybody tip that off on me? Because he's always going through puberty.
Oh,
he
said, God.
I can't believe you asked that.
No, because she had a voice when we were growing up that was akin to like the Pillsbury Doughboy, and now...
Her sophomore glove went through puberty. Oh my God. Soundbite.
You motherfucker.
Shit, right. For those of you listening for the first time, trust me, it gets better. Trust me. Believe me.
Yes.
Just a little wacky, a little wild, a little weird today.
Mm-hmm. And hungry. And according to Chris Palmer, hungry.
Hungry, hungry hippos. We're hungry, hungry hippos.
Think for yourself, Jim. Oh,
I know. But that was the game back in the day.
Waiting on Christopher Palmer to eat or whatever.
And that and Connect Four. Those were the games back in the day.
All right, I guess he's ready.
I was never a hungry, hungry hippos guy.
Yeah.
I just never liked...
You are a Mr. Bucket guy. Oh, hi.
Oh, fuck you.
Yes, yes.
The BS Fix Show Season 3 debut, coming May 11th on the CLWA3 Network.
This is Jerry DePue, postman for the Miami Heat. Former Talking the Talk guest. Host of Net Review. Fifth alternate for the U.S. podcasting team. You're listening to the CLW83 Network.
The North American Wrestling Connection WrestleMania 27 special continues with Nikki Haymon.
Come on, I dare you to throw me off the air.
I would never dare do anything like that. Oh God, here comes a chair! I really need a new agent. Oh God.
And that's just a simple warning to anybody who does dare try to throw me off the air. And let me get the doors back open here. Let's see. I seem to have a full house. Let's see. Jim, I know you're still here. Brian, I know you're still here. And I think I have a high muck-a-muck here. Or was I supposed to unmute you, Mr. Carl Shamir?
Yes. Hi.
Let's see. I've got a couple other odds and ends here. I have two strings of ones, and I know one of them is Toledo's own stat boy, Josh Hender.
And I am back for my second show on the CLW83 Network. Wow, it's been this long?
Apologies, Josh, and I just need to know. I have a Brian Henniger here on the line. Brian, you and Josh, are you two related in any way, shape, or form? Should I know something?
Well, his nose is about my same size. No, I'm looking at Josh. That joke failed on so many different levels. Josh, how do you spell your last name?
HENNINGER.
Okay, now, mine is HENEGAR, so I don't think we're related, but it is kind of... You're someone with my... Oh, that's my last name.
Yeah.
It was worth asking.
Yeah. And I'm guessing, Josh, that you've also heard every possible mangling and complete and utter mangling of your last name like I have in my lifetime.
Oh, yes. Even my best friends here in Toledo misspell my name on a near daily basis.
I've heard Henniger, Henniger, even at one point Hindegar with a D was invented at some point in time. I have no idea where that happened. So.
I don't know either.
We have a bond, and that is something.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. I've got a little fuller table than I was expecting. VRM has tapped out for the night. I have my knee in three rule. Who do I want to throw out?
Hello.
An NFL?
If you want me to tap, I can tap.
Are you okay with that, Jim? Or if you're going to tap,
yeah,
I do want you
to... I'll be listening in the chat room and... I'll send my picks that way.
Good. I was about to say something along those lines.
Yeah, really.
Yep. All right. Hey.
All right.
No problem, guys. Thanks.
Gary.
All right. Take care, Jim.
You got it. Later.
Later.
Before we go on, I've got to say a quick hello to and welcome to my fellow PYLP, or Mr. Henniger.
Hello, Carl. Pleasure to hear your voice.
You too, Brian. Hey. How you doing?
I'm doing just great. I'm getting ready for my pilgrimage to Hotlanta tomorrow morning.
There you go.
Yeah, I've got friends headed down that way as well tomorrow morning from up here in Toledo. They got to go and make a stop in Tennessee as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Clarksville.
Clarksville?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a couple hundred miles from where I am, but it's in the same geographic region, so that's pretty cool.
Yep. All right, Nikki, shall we move on?
Yes, we shall. I'm going to take a look at one other thing here that I swear to God has got to be either most elaborate ribbed ever constructed by a corporate entity or probably the stupidest decision I have ever seen come out of Stanford next to the death of Al Wilson.
Yikes.
That is quite bad.
That is bad. What's up?
There's talk floating around that WWE wants to actually eradicate the word wrestling.
Oh, yes. Yay.
I'm not sure about this. Go ahead.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, one thing about
that.
I'm talking over your. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. You're fine. You're fine. You'll just get beat up after the show.
No, all I'm going to say is that let's all keep in mind the day that this particular information was released.
And that's why I'm hoping that it is very, very much a elaborate rib. Now, what bothers me though is that there has been some precedent, and not just today. The fact that there has been some complaints about people using the word wrestling when talking about WWE, and I'm just hoping beyond hope that this is a very elaborate April Fool's joke. And if it is, Joey Styles, I wonder if you're the betrayer, because this sounds like right up your alley.
You remember go
ahead, Carl.
You remember the TV week, the incident from the last couple of weeks ago?
Refresh my memory.
Okay, TV week had a headline that had the word wrestling in it, and WWE sent a little memo to either change the article or else. So what TV Week did was they took down the entire article and then they bashed the living shit out of them.
See, it's stuff like that. That might be the incident I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Just the fact that I find it kind of silly, because if Vince wants to turn his company into complete entertainment, he's going to open ton of cans of worms in the fact that this is just free license. If they're entertainers, that means they get unionized.
Yeah.
Entertainer means actors, means everybody's gonna go get a SAG card, means union dues, means union money. Means Vince is going to have to follow a whole bunch of rules that I know he's not going to be happy about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that's going to happen, only because, like I said, just keep in mind that the day that this came out, it just seems a lot like news with a Z at the end.
Mm-hmm. I've got my fingers crossed that we are getting I really am. Because, you know, if anything, wrestlers are big fans about Riz. So I'll tell my WrestleMania to the Hall of Fame before WrestleMania 22. And Bobby Heenan was being inducted. Bobby Heenan came out, and the first part of his speech, he says, I need everybody to look under their seats for, I forgot if it was money or tickets or something. And about half the crowd looked. And he says, I want to remind you guys what today is. Which was, you know, if I recall correctly, yes, it was April Fool's, or the following day was April Fool's, and It got a huge laugh out of the crowd, because I mean it was Heenan. So I'm praying that this is newsy, But Vince's arrogance, it just makes me wonder. Really does. Give me a second here because I see somebody sticking around. Line 4, hello.
I was just on for the predictions later.
Oh, hey, Forrest. Okay. if you just do you just want to be listening in from here?
Yes. Thank you.
No problem. Okay. So I've moved him over here. Okay. One more thing, and then I'm probably going to go into pick'ems because there's quite a few matches. There is a lot of talk, and we touched on this a couple of weeks ago regarding Undertaker's physical condition going into WrestleMania. There's been a lot of complaints. Oh, Undertaker hasn't done anything physical. Most of Triple H's physicality has been brief squashes of Sheamus and Ted Jr., along with a couple of performances at house shows, to finish knocking off the ring rust. The rumor going around is that Undertaker has a completely destroyed shoulder that is going to actually require replacement. They're not going to be able to stitch it back together. He's not going to be able to rehab it. It is supposedly shot to hell. So, let me tell this at you, Carl. The good news is that him and Triple H are having a no-holds-barred match, so the wrestling is going to be very limited anyway. Do you think they would actually pull the trigger on letting Hunter win? Carl?
Oh, sorry, yes.
Given the talk of the condition of Undertaker's shoulder, do you think they would be brazen enough to let Hunter break the streak?
Honestly, no. I don't see that thing being broken ever, to be honest with you.
I kind of hope not. Brian, do you think there'll be anything left of the internet or the arena if Hunter did break the streak?
Honestly, no. Honestly, I wouldn't. And now, give me one second. I'm sorry about that. Well, if Hunter was the one to break the streak, it would be one of the most cataclysmic internet events to ever happen. I tend to look at it in a different reality. You were talking about the Undertaker's shoulder being just in such bad shape. I've read that he personally requested to have Hunter be the man to wrestling because allegedly he knows that Hunter knows just what the heck he's doing. I mean, like Hunter or not, and I've had my complaints about him over the years, the guy loves professional wrestling. He lives it. He breathes it. He can work a darn good match if he's motivated. And I think he's motivated here. But going back to what you were saying, if Hunter does win this match, the fallout from it on the website will be such that I don't think that there'll be anything left of any message board, quite frankly, just because so many of the smarks hate his guts.
What amuses me, though, there's also a small but vocal crowd that hates Undertaker just as much and probably, you know, would probably be conflicted were the streak to be broken. So, Josh, with this kind of word in mind, while it cost Sheamus a potential higher card spot at WrestleMania and a potential one-on-one deal for Wade Barrett, is this the way to go? Was this the way to go?
To be honest, it probably shouldn't have been the way to go, but because of Taker's near constant injury track, it probably was the best way to go, mainly because you're only going to get just a handful more years of Taker before, you know, he actually finally hangs it up. So he's probably wanting to wrestle the best of the best at Mania, saying, hey, I've beat all these guys, please let me in the hall. Well, that's bound to happen, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Because I know that there was a big smart uproar because a lot of people wanted Hunter to get his rematch with Sheamus. It's coming. It is coming. We will see that.
Yeah.
Undertaker facing Barrett because there's history there, as Barrett was still in charge of the Nexus at the time that he and his boys assisted Kane in getting Taker buried alive.
Uh-huh.
Still can happen. I still think it could happen. It's just really going to depend on how Taker comes out of Mania. And to be perfectly honest, we've heard talk about various people with various bad injuries, and then it just doesn't seem to be a problem as they keep on going. I'm looking at you, Shawn Michaels. And to a lesser extent, I hate to bring the name up, but Chris Benoit. Because he did that when he was having neck issues. He actually had even wrestlers dumbfounded, where he was essentially going out there and wrestling with one arm. Because he was having all the numbness issues from the damage done to his neck. So, that's just, you know, that's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I honestly think it's still going to be a good match. And I just, you know, I'm going to put in one quick thing to the Smarks. Nowhere in any of Hunter's or Taker's promos or in any of the discourse that has been submitted by current and former WWE superstars has anybody said that Taker Triple H at 27 is their first encounter. Nobody is saying that. And everybody's fishing, well, they're not talking about 17. It's irrelevant. It really is irrelevant where we are in both of these men's careers.
Exactly. And if you own the WrestleMania iPhone app, which I do, they have a preview of each match, and they explicitly mention that they met 10 years ago.
So it's just, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, if people want to get pissed about something, and this is my personal beef, and I promise I will not speak of the man again for the rest of the show for sensitive viewers. I purchased the WrestleMania 27 memorabilia book that they just recently released. On the cover, it specifically says every superstar and every match. Well, I opened it up, started flipping around, and when I got to WrestleMania 20, I had this reaction.
Whoa, 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 whoa!
Because there were matches missing. A superstar is missing.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I am planning on returning the magazine. I am mailing it back to WWE with a letter expressly stating that I am offended with the false advertising on the cover of the magazine, and I'm sorry that they're not willing to acknowledge the existence of a man who probably got them quite a bit of money from 2004 to early 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not here to bring... I just had to... It had to be said, but I'm not here to bring the show down. So that's the last I will speak of that. Because in the next 35 minutes, Mr. Henniger, please have your...
Yes.
Please have your paperwork prepared.
I do.
Because it is now time to get all of these predictions put together. It is now time for Pick'ems.
All right.
So,
we've got nine matches on the docket.
Let's see. And let me look point values real quick. I should have done this while it was at work.
I can lean 11 immediately, but there may be more. Who knows? Oh, wow.
Sorry.
Okay.
Okay, let me pull this up here.
And I'm going to do this pretty much in the order that was given to me. Apparently, a completed card was listed from another site.
SmartWrestlingFan.com.
I have the actual order here from Figure Four Weekly on my computer.
Okay, yeah, this is the one that was quoted to me by our former host, Mr. Robert Seidelman. So I'm going to make this pretty simple. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 points.
Oh.
So, and Brian, I'm going to throw it, I'm going to let you know, this is all very simple.
Okay.
You have your point, meaning you get, obviously you'll get a point for correct answers. If there is a do not think about, you do not
who's making
about,
a noise in the back?
Who's scraping around?
I don't know.
Okay. Just your personal thing here, Brian. If there's something on the card that you do not give a shit about, just say flush, and you'll automatically get a half point for that match.
Okay.
Flush, you hear this sound.
Yes, I think I have a button for that. Give me a second.
Yep.
So, onward, because we've got a bit to do here, and in fact, I need to bring somebody else in who has been patiently waiting on the sides here on my line four. Who else but fourth?
It is good to be on.
So, fourth, I hope you've been enjoying the show so far, and anybody in the chat room who, let's see, who actually
Jim is
has
in
a
there.
Name? Okay. So we're going to do it straight down the order that I have here in front of me that was quoted to me by Mr. Seidelman. So here we go.
Okay.
The opening match of the night will be Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan for the U.S. title. Sheamus recently claimed the title off of Bryan to end a losing streak that was supposedly brought on by what everybody is calling the King of the Ring curse. Whatever, guys. I'm not fine. So, let me see. Brian, since you're new here, I will let you have first pick. Who wins for 1 point?
This could go both ways. For one, I'm actually happy that they are opening with this match, because, hey, the first match of WrestleMania has to be hot. I honestly think they're going to let Sheamus go over because he fits the Vince McMahon mold. He's great, he's large, he's muscular, and he's very charismatic. So I hope that it's setting up a feud between him and Daniel Bryan so Bryan can go heel and sort of a CM Punk character. So I will go with Sheamus.
Okay. Carl, your pick?
I'm going to go with Sheamus.
And fourth?
I think it'll be Bryan by DQ because Sheamus is going to basically ignore the referee and just continue the assault to keep everything going between them.
Okay, interesting choice. Josh, I know you're writing it down, but I'd like to hear what your pick was.
Yeah. My pick here is Sheamus. He just won the belt a matter of weeks ago, and hot potatoing the belt, especially with a guy who needs rebuilding right now, would be completely and utterly reckless.
And to that I agree. I think the big fella is going to be doing some damage to poor Mr. D, Daniel Bryan Danielson. So, yes,
yeah.
Sheamus, it's not going to be pretty. Let's see. Next on the card, we have the Lawler-Michael Cole match, which, strangely, has had the most build and the most fanfare leading up to WrestleMania, and I just find that extremely wrong. Of course, Michael Cole is going to disagree with Matt and will disagree with me on that.
You people are fools!
But he's a fool to think that they were actually going to put this in the main event. We will also have the tangential assistance of Jack Swagger as Cole's trainer, and Stone Cold Steve Austin as the special guest referee. I am only going to make this one point. Brian?
I'm going to go with Lawler. It is going to be a beatdown of epic proportions. Cole will be put off television for several months, recuperating. It will be Lawler.
Carl?
This will be the easiest gimme point of the entire PPV. Lawler.
Fourth?
They built Cole up as too much of a pompous a-hole not to have Lawler win. Lawler's gonna win.
And Josh, would you like to squeeze that for me?
Yeah, it's gonna be sweeping all right. And trust me, Cole's going to be suffering from a huge case of the humiliation conga by the end of the night. Not just from King, not just from Stone Cold, but by pretty much half the divas. He's going to get humiliated. And then put off TV, enter Scott Stanford.
I'm all for that, and I will maintain the sweep. Lawler is going to win the match, and my bias is showing I don't care, but Stone Cold's going to win the segment.
Yeah, maybe. The Divas may just pull it out for once.
There you go.
Let's see, next right.
On... Yeah, of course
yeah.
Not.
Let's
sorry,
see.
I had to put it in.
No, you're fine.
Yo! Oh! Oh!
Let's see. Next on the card, Rey Mysterio and Cody Rhodes. Now this has actually been a fun little feud. If it hadn't been for the fact that Michael Cole wouldn't shut the fuck up about the knee brace.
He's using a knee brace. He used a knee brace here.
Now, what I found amusing about it is the fact that this might have had shoot roots from Rey Mysterio busting CM Punk open partially over his limit, and then breaking Undertaker's orbital bone at a random smack on glass. I was at both incidents. I have photographic evidence of them in Mysterio's case on Undertaker. To this, Cody's character has completely and utterly changed. It's actually pretty fascinating. But where does this take us? And who's actually going to pull this out? This is a one-pointer, Brian. Who do you see winning this one?
I honestly see Cody winning this one. I see Cody winning. But it's a cheap win. He gets like a cheap win somehow. No, actually, I'm sorry, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to go with Rey Mysterio winning. Cody just starts beating the living crap out of Mysterio, and the referee stops the match because he will, like, not release a finishing maneuver, and it sets up a feud down the road. And what I would do is I would have the match to where Mysterio puts up his mask against Cody putting up his face mask. So I'm going to go with Mysterio winning, but he's going to take one hell of a beating.
I could see that, Carl.
To me, it's all about who wants the bigger payday. In this case, it's Mysterio.
And fourth?
Yeah, I can see Rose getting DQ'd for being too vicious in this one. It's going to be Rey.
Bad boy.
I'm going to break the broom right over everybody's back. I am picking Dashing Cody Rhodes to win. Why? Well, when the ref's attention is turned away, well, Cody's going to use that face mask to peck Rey Mysterio, and it's going to be super effective. Yes, I'm making Pokemon jokes. Come at me.
No, you're fine. I'm still beaming a bit over the TV tropes line you used with the last match, which Brian got because he's also the troper. I'm torn because Cody really needs this win to continue to legitimize his character. But Rey Mysterio as the perpetual underdog, despite, you know, the IWC crapping on him, I think Mysterio needs to win to continue the feud. To just
I'll gladly be the minority in this.
Okay. I'm giving it to Mysterio because this feud ain't over yet. Let's see. Our next one is the obligatory, let's throw one more match on the card on the last week before Mania. The Core, who are slowly taking control of all the belts on SmackDown with Wade's spectacular Intercontinental title victory, and Slater and Gabriel having way too much fun with their tag belts. Having to deal with the only other two currently relevant and established tag teams on either show, in the case of the Giants, Kane and Big Show, and Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov. This is going to be a wonderful eight-man tag match. This is a two-pointer. Who wins and who gets pinned? You see how this works, Brian?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I see the Big Show team winning.
Okay.
And it's only because the belts are not on the line, so this is not going to kill off the hunt for the championship. But I think the face team is going to win. I actually see the Big Show pinning Ezekiel Jackson to kind of throw an air of he may be big and massive and have traps the size of small children, but he can be beaten. So I see Ezekiel Jackson taking the pin and the face team winning.
All right. Carl?
Okay, you have it as 2 points, you said?
2 points. Who wins and who's the poor guy that gets pinned?
Well, let's see how I'll put it this way. Showcane Santino Kozlov.
Okay, Team BS wins.
Yes, and the poor soul getting pinned would be one Heath Slayer.
Everybody picks on the ginger.
Yeah.
Fourth?
Well, he looks like Justin Bieber, so he kind of has it coming, but that's neither here nor there.
Ooh.
Baby. Oh.
I think I'm going to go a little against the grain. I'm going to say the Core wins the match and Santino takes the fall.
All right. Catboy, what do you got?
This is pretty much I am torn. Because on the one hand, I can easily see the faces just go flying over in the fields here. But in the other, I can see Kane just randomly saying, F this, I don't need you guys, beat up all three of them, and then pretty much leave the wreckage for the Core to just pick up and take. I am actually going to go with Core wins. And the poor bastard who gets pinned is Santino.
And I think I'm gonna go on that because I'm taking the momentum rule from SmackDown tonight. The Core's going to win. And I'm torn over who gets pinned. I'm flipping the coin to Santino soon. Although I think I'll play it on the safe side and probably have Santino pinned. So that will take care of that.
Right. Next match.
Our next match is another two-pointer, and the one that Jason Block would just simply hang up the phone if he was here right now. This is the celebrity match on the card, as Snooki will have Trish Stratus and John Morrison assisting her against Dolph Ziggler and Laycool with Vicky Guerrero in their corner. Now, this still feels like it was very thrown together. And could be a good showcase. Snooki not going to be part of the show stealing part of this match. If they give Morrison and Ziggler 7 or 8 minutes to go out there and just go, this match could steal WrestleMania. Two-pointers. Who wins? Who gets pinned? Brian.
Make this short and sweet. Brunette. What does Snooki call themselves? The Brunette Alliance wins. And I see Layla says getting pinned by Snooki.
All righty, Carl.
2 points, huh?
2 points. Who wins and who's getting pinned?
I'll take the 1 point, thank you.
And
fourth.
Flushing of the evening.
As someone of Italian heritage, I don't want to have to vote on this one, but I will say that the Blob will pin Layla.
Josh, what do you got?
In the second most obvious match on the card, right behind poor old Lawler Cole, I am picking the Jersey Horn Friends to win the match with Layla getting pinned because, well, Michelle McCool will never be pinned as long as she is Bone and Taker.
Mm-mm.
So it means Layla loses. Layla.
Who
loses
in
that.
The hell do you think you are?
I am the Scat Boy. Thank you for asking. Want me to tape up my fists?
Here. I will defend you, Scat Boy. I think I can keep him. I'll keep him.
See you in hell, dead man.
Yes. All right, Nikki.
So, I will brandish my own broom as yes, the Brunette Mafia is going to win this match, and poor Layla is going to get pinned, which in the end protects Jomo and Ziggler.
And just a note, Jim did pick slightly different. He picks Michelle to get losing.
Well, first of all, Michelle's going to be very limited because her foot isn't quite healed,
so.
I'm also expecting a great deal of Vicky Guerrero interference, so she can earn her WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But unlike most people, I love Vicky, and I want half her heat as a manager.
Yeah.
So, next on the card, CM Punk faces Orton. Now, this one's actually had some fun build as we have watched Randy Orton predictably punt every other member of Punk's clean off the air. there are some hints out there that Punxsutawney will be back. So I have hope for that, but I don't think they're going to show up at Mania. This is a one-pointer, Brian. Who wins?
Orton. Only because... only because that is the logical progression of the storyline to me. And I think it's going to be a situation to where Orton, he doesn't punt Punk, so the feud can continue, but he does get his revenge. So I'm going to go with Orton.
Okay, Carl.
Orton.
Fourth?
RKO.
That boy.
RK, no. I am picking Das Punka, and there are 7 words as to why. Yip, 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 what it fucking do.
Hello. That's true. The potential of having, because Sheffield, North,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think Tarver got kicked out either.
No.
No.
See, I have a theory to where the new Nexus all comes back the night after WrestleMania and the Raw after Mania, and they all blame Punk for getting Orton mad at him, and they all leave him alone, and he becomes a one-man army.
What am I hearing in noise? I'm hearing guy.
I'm hearing some static pops here, but...
horrible
let's
static
see.
Pops.
First, you know, I'm kind of with you, Chef Boy. I think Punk is gonna get his comeuppance to Randy. No, strike that. I should know better. Randy's gonna win on the handicap rule, just because the rest of Punk's is not allowed. Ringside doesn't mean they're not going to be there. And if
yeah,
they
plus
step,
Punxsutawney, yeah, isn't real Nexus.
And just the fact that, yeah, he's got a couple of aces up his sleeve. I don't think we're done yet. Plus, there's a semi-spoiler with the Extreme Rules poster of Mr. Punk with a great big sick grin on his face, and the Extreme Rules logo has a little yellow in it. We're not done. Okay, now we get into the real meat and potato matches. World Heavyweight title match, Edge versus Alberto Del Rio. Del Rio has been crowing that it is destiny that he will become World Heavyweight Champion, and this being his first WrestleMania. Edge doesn't seem so sure about that, and Edge might have a small insurance policy because I think Christian's going to follow him out there. This is only a one-pointer, though. Who wins, Brian?
Edge. I don't know if they think Del Rio is ready to run with the ball quite yet. So I think Edge is going to walk out with the championship.
Carl?
This might be crazy. This might be dumb, but I'm going to go with it. Del Rio wins the title after Christian turns heel.
That's not as dumb as you think. Christian's been a little too helpful lately. Or,
I think that Edge will win the match, but this will definitely be where Del Rio can show whether or not he has the potential to run with the ball. But ultimately, Edge is going to win the match.
Okay. Josh?
I don't believe I'm sick.
You still there? Oh, I think I just lost. I think I lost that boy.
Yeah, he's gone.
Shoot. Let's see if he's still in the chat room. Give me a second here. Cat boy, come back. we're waiting on Stat Boy, right now Edge has the advantage via the handicap rule, which is if one side has more people than the other, always root for the underdog. Del Rio is a big deal fairly quick, but I don't see them putting the belt on him this quickly. Hello, I have a new voice on this line, or is this you, Josh?
Nikki, I'm back.
Okay. So, who did you decide on?
Let me say this again before Skype decides to randomly kick me off again. Carl, all
right.
You are dead right. Alberto Del Rio wins, Christian costs Edge the title.
Sadly, this is in Christian's history, so my theory might be going out the window. I still think it's a little too soon, no matter how big of a deal and how fairly quick you want to do it with Del Rio. Had to do it, but in the back of my mind, the rumors that Edge is looking to hang it up here over the next year means that Edge is going to have to start putting some people over now. So it's essentially, where do I want to see Edge and Christian going from here? It'd be fun to see them feuding again. It'd be even more fun to see them tagging again. Ugh. No, I'm going to go with my initial thought. Edge is going to retain with Christian's assistance. That turn's going to come down later because they've gotten a lot of positive reactions of Edge and Christian working together. That's money that they can print. Okay. Next. Something that has been billed in some places as the War of Wars, and the one that the IWC complains there hasn't been enough build-up for, but I'll tell you what, whoever's working in their kitchen needs to sit down. Given these two men's histories, no build-up was needed. Undertaker, Triple H, sells itself. Now, Shawn Michaels has become an X factor in all of this. And I'm definitely going to go last on this because I have a plot that's going to go with it. So, Ryan, who wins? Is this a guarantee?
You know, I'm going to go with Triple H. I really think that the Undertaker, I mean, if anyone is going to end the streak, it's going to be him. And I'm not as viciously anti-Triple H as some other people on the internet, but I do believe that Triple H has been groomed to be the man to do it, so they're going to get rid of him. I mean, I misspoke there. He's going to be the one to break the streak.
Okay. Carl?
Again, here comes a bold prediction. Now, I alluded to this earlier, but I'm going to go in a different direction than I originally planned.
All right.
You will see a first here on a Mania, although it's not what you're thinking of. Taker will win, but by DQ.
Not quite.
It's a no-hold bar.
Oh, never mind. I take that
WrestleMania
back.
WrestleMania 9, dude. Fourth.
I think that The Undertaker's going to win this one, possibly with Shawn Michaels getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
If only because that's the way they seem to portray it, that's a high point in his career, to have been the guy, to have come the closest.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to win. Undertaker's going to win here.
Josh?
For me, I am also picking Taker, and here's how. During the main event, during the match, Michaels will be involved. He will be wielding a chair, but since it's no disqualification, it doesn't matter. However, he's going to have both Taker and Triple H will be down. Triple H will be saying, please hit him, please hit him, end the streak. And Taker will be like, no, no. And Sean will go, no, put the chair down, walk away. A few minutes later, Tombstone on the chair, 1, 2, 3, Taker retain. Taker goes to 19-0.
I'm picking Taker also, but here's my scenario. We've got two beat-the-hell legends.
Mm-hmm.
Taker's beating down Triple H. Triple H has been beating down Taker. Sean's been watching patiently at ringside. The two of them look like they can barely stand. Sean climbs into the ring. They both look over at him expectantly as he looks at them both and says, I'm sorry, it's time. And he super kicks Triple H. They alluded to that in the promo on Monday. I think that's how it's going to go down. But Taker retains.
Okay. And now to the main event.
And now for the actual main event, which is supposed to be Cena Miz, but The Rock is kind of definitely going to be involved. And this is going to be a two-pointer for me. Who wins is 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
The other is Rock, well, this is an easy point, is Rock going to actually interfere in the match? Brian, go.
Okay. My 2 points connect. The Miz is going to win because The Rock will cost the world championship for John Cena, thus setting up, inadvertently, WrestleMania 28, which will be in Miami, which I believe will be Rock-Cena.
Okay, Paul?
Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
Cena is who wins, and does Rock get involved?
Oh boy. Let's see. How long has Miz had the belt now?
He's had
over 100 days.
Unfortunately, they're gonna put it back on Cena, and Rock will get involved somehow.
Okay.
I think Cena's going to win, but The Rock's not going to get involved during the match. After the match, he'll give Cena the payback of a rock bottom.
Okay.
Gosh.
Super Cena will get the W here, mainly because Miz has had the belt for over 100 days, and not many people have done that as of late, so yeah, he's going to lose. He's going to lose hard. And then, well, of course, Rocky is going to interfere in the match. How? We don't know yet.
Okay. I'm calling definitely. Cena's going to win to, quote unquote, send people home happy. Rock's going to get involved. But he's probably going to go after both of them.
Okay.
And I think he can get away with it.
And those are the pick'ems set in stone.
So there we go, guys. WrestleMania is coming up. Brian, have a blast at the show and take hundreds and hundreds of pictures and wave your sign with impunity.
I just want to say... Before I go off the air real quick, thank you so much for letting me be a guest on your show. I had a blast. It was awesome.
And I do believe you will be back. I don't think I have any objections to that.
Nope.
None here.
Carl?
We'll talk, Brian.
Excellent.
Thank you, sir.
So, Joe, thank you so much. and I'm obliged to play some closing credits. So, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Peace.
Oh, who's left? I see Carl, and who else stuck around? Whoops.
No.
Sorry about that.
The music at the end.
Well, we're an archive. It's kind of silly to keep on playing it unless, Carl, you're going to yell at me about that.
Nah.
I didn't think so. I apologize that I didn't get the breaking news in there for you. I just noticed that in the IM.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a joke or not, but I got that on the horn from PW Insider.
Jeff, probably in rehab, or?
No, it's the guy that with Flair.
Oh, what happened?
Apparently, he's flew into Atlanta this evening.
Oof. I hate to leave, but my battery's dying, so I'll see you guys.
Well, alrighty.
Alright.
I think it's a rib curl because Flair's a weird choice to induct Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with that Triple H on the payroll and the fact that Kevin Nash would probably have better stories.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be one or more of Sean's click mates that will be inducting him. I just Flair, can't see it.
Well, let's see. Oh, wait a minute here. JR just tweeted, he's talking about Race and Flair in a hotel bar.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to bed.
Let's see. Okay, what we got here? Bonus new Cena shirt is red and gold. I wonder where they saw that. I'm going to have to look that one up, too.
Red and gold.
Well, there was a running joke on WrestleCraft that for John Cena's entrance this year, what they were going to do was that he's going to walk out in a suit and glasses and walk up to a phone booth that's up on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Go in there and then emerge wearing brand new red and blue gear.
Get rid of the Fruity Pebbles look, yeah.
Actually, it's a Superman joke.
Ah.
Let's see if I can find what they're talking about. Superstar John Cena. Here we go. There's all his purple gear. It's throwback, and they re-released his Bulldog shirt. I'm not seeing what they're talking about.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not going to worry about it, man. I'm going to let you go.
Alrighty.
But had a good time at the show. I hope we did you proud.
Yes, of course.
I will apologize that I am horrible about getting that closer in because we usually go right to the wire.
It's all right.
So we'll work on that.
Not a problem, already.
Thanks, man.
All right, good night.
Night.
CLWA3.com is your source for everything CLWA3. You can catch any of our shows on demand anytime at blogtalkradio.com/CLWA3network. Also, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and our feed on iTunes.